This is the Church Planting Podcast, brought to you by the Broadcast Network. Broadcast exists to support, train and encourage church planters. For more information about who we are or about the training that we offer, please visit our website at www.thebroadcastnetwork.org.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Broadcast Podcast. My name is Tom, I'm part of the team at Broadcast and I have a guest with me today who is Johnny Mellor. Johnny is one of the leaders at a church in Birmingham and also leads an initiative called Sputnik. Johnny's been on the Broadcast Pod before, but not for a little while. So I thought it'd be great to start just by asking you to reintroduce yourself to the audience, Johnny. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then kind of lead into Sputnik a bit and tell us about what that is. I'm sure a few people have heard of it, but give us the kind of lowdown on what you're trying to do, what the heart behind Sputnik is all about.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on again, Tom. This is it's great to be here. Yeah, I'm Johnny, like Tom said, one of the leaders at Church Central Birmingham, and also the leader of Sputnik Faith and Arts. I guess also you could say how you introduce yourself can be difficult, but I'm also a rapper. I write fiction in my spare time too. I'm a husband, I'm a father. I'm an Everton fan. That's all you need to know about me. I guess honing on the first two would be where Sputnik comes from, the church leader and the artist sort of side of things. Sputnik Faith and Arts is essentially a network of artists, and we focus on artists who, first of all, by artists, we don't just mean visual artists, it's anyone working in the arts. So whether they're a performing artist, a dancer, a filmmaker, a DJ, or a painter. So it's a broad view of art generally, but also we focus on working with artists who make work, I suppose, to enter the cultural conversation, whether that's at a local level or more broadly, but certainly outside of our Christian communities and our churches. Our aim, if we talk big picture, we would really like to play a part in rebuilding some of the bridges that have been broken between artists and churches, especially, I guess, evangelical churches that we would see as existing. And to do that, we kind of have two hats, church leader and artist. We operate in that sort of way. And so we'd look to connect with churches in different ways. And I suppose this conversation would be an example of that. And we spend probably even more time than that working to actively support artists as well. We connect Christian artists to other Christian artists, essentially, and we fund projects by Christian artists as well. And that's basically us in a nutshell. That's Sputnik.
Brilliant. I'm really interested, particularly thinking about you as an example of someone who really does embody that bridge. You are an artist, you are a church leader, and so you've got an insight into both worlds that's probably quite rare. You'll get church leaders who are doing the church leadery thing and the artists are over there, and you can look and say, you know, they're obviously up to something, but I don't really get what they're about. And similarly, you'll get artists who are cracking on making their art and looking into this church leader world and say, I just don't really track what they're thinking, why they're doing the things they're doing. But for someone like yourself who lives in both worlds, there's a pretty interesting perspective that you bring to the table. I'm interested to just learn a little bit about the overlap and how that works for you. How is it for you that being an artist impacts the way you lead? And then, like, on the converse of that, how does being a church leader impact the way you do art? So, yeah, I'd love to hear how that works out for you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear how that works out for me as well. Let's see what I say and let's see if it works. I don't know. It's I've got to admit it's not without its tensions, I suppose, and I'm working through that all the time. To put it very crudely, and this is not a good thing, but this is how probably I've seen things before, is my church leadering would have been seen as a more left side of the brain activity, whereas people think of creativity in the right hemisphere of the brain. Again, I'm not saying that's how it should be, but I think particularly maybe in the Reformed tradition, that is where the archetypal church leader, Bible teacher would tend to be very left side of the brain. Let's rationally argue in the Western world, I suppose we're good at preaching Paul. We're not so good at preaching Revelation, would be the stereotype. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And I suppose as I've pushed more into my artistry, and there's a way you can separate those two things out, and just literally, and sometimes wearing different hats is the way it is. It's like I talk one way to one person, one way to another. I don't want to be duplicitous, but different communication methods, but also trying to pull that together, I suppose. I think as I was pushed more into the arts, as I was saying, and spent more time with artists, I think it's helped my leadership, and I genuinely think it's helped. It has changed it, but it's helped by making me question some of the more dogmatic views I would have had on things as a younger Christian. Some of the black and whites would have become slightly more grey. I would guess I would hold a load of things more loosely than what I held before, and I hope I would have held some things more tightly than before. But it's a smaller number of things. I think it would have made me more empathetic and pushing more into empathy. I'm not a very empathetic person. It wouldn't be on my We did our strength finder for those who know about this on Tuesday, and I don't have empathy, and I'm actually quite glad I don't have empathy. Sounds exhausting. But actually artists would tend to be high in empathy. Empathy is an imaginative skill. You can imagine what it's like to be in someone else's shoes, and it's meant pushing more into empathy and checking some of my more unempathetic characteristics, pragmatism and things like that. I think it would, in my own Christian walk, I would have embraced questions and doubts more and mystery more. And I would look to lead in a way that allows others to push into mystery rather than hiding from it, I guess. I think also another tendency would be in many of a creative spirit or an artistic spirit would be to look for the richness, I guess, in God's world. Value God's common grace as well as enjoying his special grace. I would push into that more and want to lead more in that direction. And so those flavours would come through, I guess, in how I would lead and what I would pick out of passages, maybe when I'm preaching a little. So on that side of things, my artistry has affected my leadership. How's my leadership affected my artistry? I think mainly it's not given me a lot of time to do it. I think in a serious way, one of the things that a lot of people who aren't artists don't appreciate is the amount of time that has to go into becoming an artist. And it's the difference almost between being a creative person and being an artist. A lot of people conflate those things together, and it can cause lots of problems because an artist has to put their hours in, essentially. As a Christian leader with a job that a load of it is not in the arts, it would limit that time and would mean that I can't push into some stuff. I'm probably not good enough actually to justify that in many ways. But having said that, running Sputnik has encouraged me to keep the flame burning, I suppose. So would still have been involved in artistic projects over that time where I could have let them die. And if you let it die, if you let the flame go out, it's very, very difficult to pick that up. It doesn't matter what your personality or your gifts are later. If you can just keep it going for a while, actually many of the finest artists in many art forms we've had would be those who picked those things up later in life, having kept them going at a low level. So how's my leadership affected my artistry? Well, it's kind of put it on the back burner, I guess. But with Sputnik, maybe kept it going, which I'm happy for.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, when you were talking about the way your art has affected the way you lead, it brought to mind Jesus, and a lot of the themes that you were picking up seemed quite prominent in how he did things. So, for instance, the appreciation of the natural world and how much of Jesus' teaching would pick up on there's a seed, there's a tree, the sun, the rain, like all the things he's seen around him played a big part, and mystery and questions and empathy. And these are themes that I mean, we see them in other parts of the Bible as well, but they seem so prominent in the teaching ministry of Jesus. It's interesting to see that link to artistry and how some of the fruit of that is so clear there.
Yeah, and I mean, just to note, the Bible has a great deal of artistry. It isn't, not saying, I don't want to push this too far, but it is an artistic product. Like look again, the Book of Revelation would be a great example. That is an artistic, there is an amount of artistry that's gone in there. Yes, there's a prophetic nature, there's communication from God, but it's channeled through John's imagination and his artistry quite clearly. The symbolism is complex, yes, in that book, and that would link back to a lot of the apocalyptic literature that we got. So artists, God has chosen to communicate his will through a load of artists. There are loads of artistic thinkers, very creative thinkers, writing scripture. I mean, not to mention Psalms, Proverbs. I mean, we could just go on. And the way that even history was written in the Old Testament is far more symbolic. And so I think in this whole conversation would be what, that's one of the big flashing lights for me of this is an important area, because if we do get only the left-sided brain people to be our theologians and the ones who kind of the filters through which we see the Bible, we do miss massive amounts of what's there. We have to understand metaphor and wrestle with metaphor to understand scripture, because metaphor is very important in scripture. Not saying that all scripture is metaphor and therefore we go into a liberal thing where nothing is true anymore. Not saying that, but if you don't handle metaphor, you come up with a very, very different Bible to the one we actually have.
Yeah.
You set me off on that, Tom. I think that was not on our list.
No, sorry. I was just kind of letting my mind wander. Letting it wander a bit more, I guess. Like, to use Revelation as an example. You get such a different application and a take-home, don't you, when you read... If you read Revelation as though everything being described is only a literal physical thing that will be predicted to happen in exactly that pictorial way, and you miss the symbolic, artistic things that John's doing there, then the whole book is actually flipped on its head, and you see very strange but different messages coming out of it.
Absolutely. And I think Revelation would be an example, maybe an extreme example, but there'll be lots of other examples in Scripture. The very beginning and the very end would probably be the most extreme cases. We get first few chapters of Genesis and Revelation, but it kind of bleeds into the whole thing, I think.
Yes. Yeah, so Johnny, you talk with church leaders a lot about art and artists. I know you have plenty of conversations going on, and I would imagine you've probably got a variety of different places that church leaders are at. So some who are quite bought in, who are quite engaged on this, some who haven't really thought about it much, maybe some who've got pushback or different opinions. But I was just wondering, like, is there a common thread? Like, is there one thing that you quite often come away from conversations thinking, you know, if every church leader could just get this one thing when it comes to artists in our churches, that would really help. What would be the message for church leaders?
I think that if it was one thing, I think I'd want to articulate it like this, that the very problems that artists are seen to bring to our communities actually should be seen as strengths that we need most. I don't think I've explained that well, but I'll unpack that a little bit. I think that's what I want to communicate. I think there's a stereotype from a lot of churches of an artistic or creative person. And I think actually you could sum it up in an actual real person. I think when an artist walks into a church, church leaders think they've got William Blake. That's what they're afraid of. William Blake, the poet and artist and painter, is walked in. And William Blake, if you know anything about William Blake, he would be the classic example of the church leader's nightmare of an artist. I mean, highly individualistic, oversensitive and theologically unstable. I mean, those are the things that church leaders are thinking. And you've got William Blake, who is very critical of the church, banged on about like nature and little lambs and all this sort of stuff that drives a lot of church leaders crazy. And he was so experimental in his theology that for some of his life he viewed the God of the Old Testament as basically Satan. I mean, he really pushed the boat. I know like many creatives, he would externally process, and I don't know where he landed because he changed quite a bit. But it's like the artist walks in, or you talk to a church leader about artists and they think, you mean you want to unleash loads of William Blakes into our church? And we don't want them. And I'll be honest, William Blake would have been an absolute nightmare to have in our church. I don't even being who I am, I think I'd probably have found another place for him to go, you know. But the funny thing is, if you think about William Blake, even, who was a very eccentric character, but had extreme versions of a lot of the traits that artists do tend to have. While he would have been a nightmare in our church, I think there are very few Christians now who would say, I wish William Blake wasn't around, because his impact on British culture and embedding Jesus, he had a very Jesus-centric view, and embedding Jesus into the deep parts of British culture here 200 years later is a gift of God. And pretty much all Christians would probably say that, but he would have been very difficult. I think that is the conundrum here of people, yeah, like me, and I wouldn't talk about others, for myself, I'm difficult to lead in some senses because I would have some of those traits in there. But I would say that as churches, can we harness the things we think are problems, maybe the individualism, the oversensitivity, the theological questioning, I would say, can we see them as positives? If they're harnessed in the right direction, I think they can be positives. And so a kind of, let's think, an oversensitivity is often the empathy I was talking about before, a real empathy to other people that we need in our churches. I think we can, if you can get those people in, it can really help us. Individualism can be seen as actually is heightened creativity, which if you harness it, can find creative ways to solve problems in our communities, which we need. We need those kind of thinkers involved. And while I wouldn't be encouraging church leaders to embrace theologies that see the Old Testament God as the devil, I think that having people who ask difficult questions around, I think as leaders, we've got to be self-confident enough to be able to not just put up with those people, but to embrace those people, because those questions are really helpful. If we're beyond people asking difficult questions, we're really in a very difficult and dangerous position, I think, and we will become unnecessarily narrow and dogmatic if we push all those people to the curb, or those people find in the ether that the church, our churches are not places for them, which is what happens quite a lot, really. And so I think to flip our mindset and seeing people, yes, there could be some pastoral difficulties with having this person in the community, but I'm going to put extra work in here because there's gold. This stuff is not just an added extra, like, oh, we've got a quirky artist in the church. No, we want these voices at the heart of our communities the best way we can, which is difficult practically to do, but brings us massive benefits. And I think to take evangelicalism as it's seen and caricatured a lot, it is interesting that the big critiques of evangelicalism would kind of critique a movement that you would imagine happening if you just had the left side of your brain involved. If you thought, let's go really rationalistic and let's really push into the Enlightenment, what would happen, like, if you did that in a community? Well, you'd probably end up with people who focus a lot on rational argumentation, a lot. You would focus a lot on it would be very pragmatic. And probably there's more of a stretch to this one, but I think you would get quite a consumerist culture developing as well. And those are the critiques of the evangelical church. And they're a caricature, but my experience, I've been in the evangelical church, a very particular type of the evangelical church for my whole life, 46 years. And I'd say it's a caricature, but there's a lot of truth in that caricature. And we need to be very careful of that caricature because we do not want to become that thing. Now, into that, how do we fix, if even a shadow of that is true of us, how do we fix that? Well, actually, I think we need more people who are more imaginative thinkers into the mix. And what's also interesting is what we've done is we have pushed them out of the church. So you could say, well, it's no surprise we got here. If you remove all your creative thinkers who ask difficult questions and are quite sensitive and want to see God's work in common grace and are doing all this sort of stuff and are very empathetic, you know, let's just move them out. What you will end up with is the caricature. And so this is why I think how we engage with artists is not a peripheral issue, and it's not just an issue about how we relate to culture outside the church or ways to package our evangelism. It's critical to retain our humanity in how we practice our faith, which might sound a little bit overblown, but, you know, I like to. I don't want to be in the middle. I think it's very important.
That's really helpful. And it's really it's good to see the centrality to which the things that artists bring is it. like, I've probably been guilty in the past of seeing it as a important but kind of supplementary thing rather than something that that really kind of filters through and gives the character to what Christianity ought to be and should be, and moves us away from the I was going to say false impressions, perhaps true impression that some people have sometimes had, but certainly unhelpful, not complete, not good shadow version of evangelicalism. I'm really grateful for people like yourself and Sputnik doing work to help church leaders, because as you acknowledged, it's difficult. It's not easy to glean and get the benefit the artists will bring if we can make sure we're listening and we're giving them sway. And one of the things that that we've been working on recently is a new course on broadcast that that you've been producing the content for and that we're ready to release pretty soon. That we're calling it Releasing Artists to Renew Culture. It's an interesting title. Could you unpack for us that title, Releasing Artists to Renew Culture, and what we're trying to do with this course?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, to unpack the title, I think we would think that if artists are released in our communities and feel valued and loved and accepted and their voices allowed to be heard, we think that two things would happen, and that would be that church culture would change for the better, and also that culture outside the church would change for the better as well. And so we're talking about culture in two ways. And so to summarize how we think, look, if we can like get hold of these artists and love them and support them and listen to them and help them with some of the things they need help with, there's a double prong cultural benefit. Like, and I'm not just talking about flowery things, I'm talking about Jesus being at the center of those things. Like you were saying, these are Jesus things, you know. And I think this goes back to two distinctives of Sputnik that we would have. And one would be that we are an arts network that is pro-church. And that's actually quite unusual in Christian arts networks for kind of obvious reasons, actually. I think it needs to be understood. And I think lots of church leaders don't see this. But there is real hurt and suspicion among artists of the church. A few years ago, I was chatting to a friend who is runs an arts network, Christian arts network, and she was talking in terms that pretty much all the artists they connect with have now left traditional expressions of the local church. And I think church leaders don't see this because they wouldn't understand. They just understand an artist as a creative soul. There are lots of creativity in the church. Just to be really clear, yes, our churches are abounding in creativity. Our church meetings, particularly in the charismatic tradition, there's creativity coming out of our ears, you know. But that's different to being an artist. And artists are those who build the craft on that. They push into that more and more and more. And among those people, there's not many of them around, really, particularly those working at a high level. And so when you get artists, Christian artists together, what often happens is they do moan about the church, and that's a main topic of conversation. And we've decided in Sputnik we really want to push against that. We're not stopping those conversations happening, but I think in everything we do we want to be saying, yes, understand the difficulties, get it, we've experienced that. Some of us, like myself, have been to blame for some of that stuff, but you know what, while that's true, we would still see Jesus' main model of how to build his kingdom is through the local church. And so we're not teaching this from the pulpit. There's not really a pulpit at Sputnik events, but that's the tone we want to go through things. And so we're looking, yes, releasing artists to renew church culture, definitely. But on the other hand, we really want to encourage artists to make work outside of the church setting, not for ministry purposes or specifically for evangelism, but for the common good, and to enter into the cultural conversations that are happening. And so by releasing artists in that way, there would be a renewal of wider culture happening as well. We wouldn't encourage artists to be, as I mentioned before, just trying to package the gospel in shiny wrapping paper. Like, That's propaganda. That's what that is. It just is. That's the word for that thing. And I think some propaganda is helpful in some settings. Some marketing is a softer word to put it. Is helpful. Marketing is a thing. But to reduce art to that is massively missing the point of what art can do. And actually, this is much more in the categories of light, salt, yeast. And I think the artist can be yeast in culture in a way that is very, very special. Artists get inside a culture and they don't, if works of art, the Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky or Johann Sebastian Bach or like William Blake, for example, those things are stuck in and they emanate Jesus for generations. And that has a massive effect. And not every artist is going to be doing that on that scale, but even artists who making art in a local community, doing community arts with a group of friends, art that captures that spirit of artistry has an effect on culture. And if you're a Christian making that art and you're following Jesus and you're full of the Holy Spirit, that we would assume that would be the case because of who Jesus is and what art is. It's like the two things coming together is powerful cultural shaping force. And so those are distinctions of Sputnik would be we'd be working, we'd be pro-church and we'd be saying we're not supporting creatives to do ministry. That's not what we're doing. And particularly not within to other Christians. Not saying that's not important. That's another thing, massively important. But it's just not our thing because we're interested in releasing artists to a new culture in the church and outside the church. So in a roundabout way, that's why we've called the course what we've called it. And the content will come through in that sense, I suppose. Yeah.
No, that's great. That's really good. It brought to mind, I'm going to misquote it because when it just pops into your head and you've not looked it up, that often happens. But I'm pretty sure there's a quote by an old Greek guy that's something like, I care not who writes the laws of our society if I can write the songs. And I think that says something, kind of along what you've been saying about the power of art to shape and
absolutely.
Let's jump from the kind of conceptual of what the course is trying to do to the more specific of what's actually in the course. So if someone wanted to do it and they went, clicked on there, what would they find?
Yeah, well, it's very, very simple. It's essentially 8 short videos that you can watch. They're all between 8 and 15 minutes. With each video, there'll be some questions, discussion questions, some artworks as reference points and biblical references to help you think through the content of the video. And you could watch that. You could just watch the whole lot. It takes an hour and a half. It's not like masses and masses of content. And that would be I'm sure that would be one way to do it. But my recommendation probably would be to watch them one at a time in bite-sized chunks and then go away and think about them and use the resources and questions to do that. And just to be really upfront, you probably won't agree with everything that is on the course, and I am trying to push some buttons here. I think that's kind of one of the things that I think is important for us to do. But even if you don't think you can follow through every recommendation on the course, what the intention is, we want you to think really carefully about the issues raised. There's some issues here that that under the surface, however you apply them, are vital that we get our hands on and are really for the 21st century church. Like, we need to grapple with these things. And so I some time to think. It's not just download the information, do what Johnny says. I'm sure that goes without saying. But the idea is to dwell on it in that way. I mean, alternatively, I suppose you could use, I suppose I'd love people to do this as well. You could use the sessions and resources for group discussions as well. So to get together, it's like 8 to 15 minutes, like I say, and then do the discussions. That I would find that an interesting group discussion. I'm sure others would as well. We'd be fascinated to hear if it works, if people try that out, how that works, because we could push into that more potentially. But really, it's out there for you to use in any of those sort of ways. And it will be out just the very end of April. And we'll just be there through the broadcast network on their Vimeo channel.
Yes, brilliant. So, yeah, it's going to be the 29th of April, I believe, so Monday. will be the launch, and then from that moment on, you'll find the course on the broadcast website. So that's thebroadcastnetwork.org, and you'll find it on there. But on that day that we're launching it, on the 29th, there's a little event that's happening, isn't there, to kind of kick off the course. Do you want to mention what's happening that evening?
Yeah, we're going to do an hour Zoom in the evening to celebrate the launch of the course. And what we're going to do is we're going to watch one of the shorter sessions together, and then there'll be myself and my friends Katie and Liz and Josh, who are all Christians who are artists in different ways, will be on the call, and we're going to take questions if anyone has questions, just think together about the content of that particular session, but also spend a good amount of time praying into this whole area. And we want to lead you in prayer for yourselves and for your churches and for the artists you know, for some of the underlying issues here as well, that Jesus would be glorified in this area. I mean, that's what it's all about. We're not doing anything particularly left field as regards our Christian mission. We want to see Jesus's reputation enhanced everywhere. And so we're gonna lead you in prayer and hopefully pray for you, and hopefully you'll have questions answered, but you'll benefit from some spirit-filled artists doing the stuff. My friends who are coming, they're great, you know, and they're a blessing wherever they go, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you on that evening.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that'll be a great evening. And again, to find out how you can get onto that call, head over to our website, but we'll also be linking to it on all the broadcast social media and the email list as well. Head over and get yourself signed up for that to make sure you know what's going on. It's been great chatting, Johnny. Just before we finish up, tell us how people can connect with you more. Would it be heading over to the Sputnik website or any particular social channels that you're active on?
Yeah, it's Sputnik website is a good one. I'm sure the link can go with this this podcast. Our Instagram is probably our main social, Sputnik Faith Art on Instagram. If you'd like to get a bit more into this conversation, I'm a co-host of a podcast called Faith in the Arts. With a couple of friends, and we're just starting our third season of that at the moment, so there's quite a lot to catch up on, so you can get into the conversation there. With it's me and my friend Ali, who's a painter from London, and Marlita, who's a choreographer from LA, and we chat about all of this stuff. It's a lot of fun to make. So you can clock in there as well. If you're an artist and you're listening, we essentially have three in-person meetups a year, all in Birmingham, and three Zoom meetups, which are more in-discipline meetups, which on the back of those we have social media groups that people continue those connections on, and you'd be all through the website, that information's there. And we also offer grants to artists through our grant scheme. We give micro grants of £500 to Christian artists, and again all the details are on the website, and you don't have to have connected with the network in other ways to be eligible for a grant, although it does help you. I won't lie. But yeah, those are all the ways I can think to connect.
Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time today. And if you're listening and your interest has been piqued, do check out this course and check out the launch event. And we'll be back soon with more content on the Broadcast Podcast. See you next time.